Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It's 11:42. This is Dean Richards, Sunday morning, Easter Sunday morning at WGN Chicago. I have enjoyed our next guest for such a long time, and I mean that in the nicest way possible. I've enjoyed her stand-up concerts here in Chicago forever. I've enjoyed her television appearances, my life on the D-List, and so many other shows through the years. For a decade, she was part of the New Year's Eve celebration on CNN, and to me, just really made the show. Apparently has bronchitis or something this morning. Kathy Griffin is on the phone line.
What the heck was that?
Kathy, do we need to get you some oxygen or something?
Oh, okay, that is like the story of my life in Hollywood. Someone in Chicago coughs and I get blamed.
Okay,
well, you're talking to Kathy Griffin, Chicagoan and comedy fugitive.
And comedy fugitive.
I've been in a little trouble, Dean.
Yeah, a little incident happened last year where you were photographed with what looked like the severed head of the president. And suddenly you became, a pariah everywhere.
Oh, pariah everywhere.
Yeah.
And also, to have the, it's actually historic. For the first, for just a humble girl from Forest Park, I went to St. Bernardine.
I did know that. Yes, indeed.
Rest in peace.
Local girl, yeah.
Although I do miss the Farrar Pan Candy Factory. It's across the street.
I'm going to send you some lemon heads.
Oh, my gosh. It's, you know what? Lemon heads are, it's a candy you take in stages. You know what I mean? First, it's kind of tangy. I have no written contract with them. I'm just
right.
Going off the cuff.
Now that I think of it, maybe I should send you a candy that does not contain the word head in it. That may be.
Tell you one of the things, and by the way, I am so thrilled to be returning to the iconic Chicago Theater on Thursday, June 28th. Tickets are truly going fast. I know people make fun of me when I say that, and then they go online and they go, dang, this is the same woman who sold out Carnegie Hall in one day a couple of months ago.
That's right. That's
so
right.
I am back, and I'm telling tales out of school. And I honestly love doing stand up. It's my favorite thing. I love playing the Chicago theater. Who wouldn't? But now have I got a heck of a story? I've been singled out. This is historic. Never in the history of the United States has a sitting United States president used the power of his Twitter feed, his family. Well, a couple of them might be on the rocks, frankly. But Fox News, Breitbart, the alt-right machine, TMZ was recording my concert cancellations in real time. And then, of course, the Department of Justice calls 2 days later, and I'm under a 2-month federal investigation for, wait for it, conspiracy to assassinate the President of the United States. Take it in, Dean.
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, when it happened, I mean, frankly, a lot of people were pretty shocked. I mean, we expect Kathy Griffin to push the envelope.
That's my brand. And can I tell
But I think that this picture even shocked most people.
I've known this moron Trump off and on for 20 years. He's actually hired me twice to roast him.
Really?
It's not like he doesn't know what I do.
Yeah.
And by the way, of course, the last time I saw him, which is a few years ago, but, he, like any bully, I was about to go on and host this show, and I was going to roast him, and he's like, you're not going to be too tough on me, are you? I mean, we're cool, right? And I was like, calm down, girl. I didn't know he'd become the accidental president, Dean.
I
thought he was just the guy that I would run into at, like, NBC Universal events when I was promoting my life on the D-List or my talk show or one of my specials.
Right, you work for the same company.
The Apprentice with his orange, rather inconsistent shade of body makeup.
You worked for the same company, but what I'm really interested in.
I'm all the players, and what's great is I've had like Trump stories basically in my hip pocket for years, but frankly, no one really cared. I'd play the Chicago theater, and people want to hear about the housewives and my mom.
Right
now, this guy that I actually thought was like a reject from Million Dollar Listing is the accidental president. So I've got stories about Trump. By the way, I've also got many, many other stories. I, you know, have a great story about when I was in Australia because, you know, as you know, I was not able to make a living in my own country.
Yeah, when places started canceling your appearances all over the place. Yeah,
I have my first paid TV gig in a year. So I'm going to be on the President Show on Comedy Central, and I get to play Kellyanne Conway.
I sort of can't wait to see that, to see what you're going to do with that.
Well, I'm obsessed with her. I have many faces. You know, I'm very open about that, Dean. But she has many faces as well. And so I am very excited to get in the wig and the costume. And Tony, the guy who plays Donald Trump on that show, is so funny.
He's hilarious.
So I'm like just thrilled to be back out there, and then doing the tour is the ultimate. And you know, I called it the laugh. I'm calling it the Laugh Your Head Off tour. So I am obviously leaning into the photo, going to address it. I tell the whole story on stage about the investigation and all the craziness around it. But the thing I just have to say is, I kind of have to laugh through all the insanity, because when people say that I was holding up Donald Trump's severed head, first of all, I like to say to them, don't you think you would have heard about that? Like Donald Trump, I know we think he's lost his mind, but if he actually lost his head, I think he would have heard about it sooner than my picture. It was a Halloween mask, and then sometimes people thought that I had like someone else's severed head. To which I say, oh yes, I went to the severed head store.
Yeah,
and you know we have a lot of those here, and I just got one. And
well, you know, I followed this pretty well, and What I found really kind of moving a little bit. I mean, you got a lot of criticism, obviously. You lost a lot of gigs, obviously.
Right.
But what really touched me is what I read in an interview. You said that Rosie O'Donnell had said to you that kind of put this all into a different perspective about the idea of doing satire with a severed head. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. What happened was, when I took the photo, you know, I've taken sort of provocative photos before. It's not exactly my day job. My day job is exactly what I'm going to do at the Chicago Theater, standing on stage and trying to make people laugh and telling stories. And, you know, it's all real. Nothing's made up. And it's very improvisational. So every so often, you know, I do a photo shoot. Like, not often. But, you know, one thing that was nice about when I was on Bill Maher is Bill said, yeah, when you're a comic, it happens every time. They take a bunch of pictures, and then usually at the end of the shoot, there's always somebody who's like, I've got an idea. And so, yeah, I wanted it to be a provocative photo. But, you know, the idea that it would, you know, I mean, as the Trumps say, they don't just want to end my career. They want to decimate me. And so they used the initial outrage of that photo. And obviously, you know, when the photo went live on TMZ, of all places, I really wish the photographer had not given it to TMZ. I'll be honest about that. But, yeah, Rosie O'Donnell called me, and she said, there's an outrage about your picture. And I'm not kidding. I didn't believe her. I was like, no, Rosie, calm down. I've done this sort of thing a million times. It'll blow over. What's the worst that could happen? It's not like the White House is going to notice. And so then she said, and, you know, I've performed in Iraq and Afghanistan,
right,
in war zones.
Yep.
I mean, I even performed in Kuwait and Uzbekistan. So top that, Trump. I mean, Trump hasn't even visited those places.
Yeah.
But anyway, when she said the famous words, what if Daniel Pearl's mother sees this? Then I apologized because, of course, I understand that. What I found out later, and the reason I absolutely take the apology back, was that was a narrow apology. Like, yeah, that's an apology for anyone if you have truly, personally, somehow had to bear witness. And I don't mean going on YouTube and being like a weirdo that looks up like freaking ISIS videos. But I mean, if you're someone who's been touched by that, of course, having traveled there and stuff, I understand. Then I realized the apology kind of made things worse. So the funny thing is, all my comedian friends called me that day, and they're like, why'd you apologize? And all my civilian friends called me going, you better apologize. But then when I realized that the White House was using this as a coordinated attack, I realized, oh, I'm like part of their go-to. Like, it's Colin Kaepernick, or it's me. Like, you know, Sean Hannity wrote like a blog about me 2 days ago. Like, they just like to keep bringing it up whenever things are looking bad for Trump.
It's so interesting, and really kind of became a little even more clear to me this week with the success of Roseanne Barr's show this week, that do you remember the time when Roseanne Barr was criticized by the president, by President Bush at that time, when she was the one that was getting the kind of wrath that you're getting now for, you know, what a lot of people thought was a very disrespectful version of the national anthem?
Right. Well, first of all, you know, where's my ABC multi-million dollar series?
You'll have to wait 30 years like Roseanne did, but
conspiracy theories, not unlike the Pizzagate. You know, and then ABC, of all places, Disney's like, here's a giant show with the most amazing actors surrounding you in the world. And then she goes on Twitter the next day calling one of the Parkland kids a Nazi.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a little confused about which way is up anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's just the kind of the way that situation went. But what I realized was a lot of the outrage about my photo, and it still continues. Like, I'm on a kill list. You know, a federal agency just called me, and I still get all kinds of crazy things that people send to my house. But what I love about doing this live show is I really think I went overseas first. I couldn't get arrested here, but I could get indicted.
Okay.
All right, you gotta laugh. But I was able to try all this material, and I went to 15 countries in 23 cities.
Yeah.
And, you know, overseas people were really amazed at the reaction to the photo. And now I'm so relieved to see, honestly, like a very large part of America, or most of America, is finally coming around going, all right, in light of all these other things that are happening,
yeah,
Nazis marching in Charlottesville,
right,
like,
right,
maybe Kathy Griffin's photo wasn't like all that serious. But, you know, believe it or not, I kind of have to, even though that photo caused me a lot of trouble and still does, I kind of have to defend it.
Yeah.
Because it is, as you know, completely covered by the First Amendment.
Well, I know you're going to be talking a lot more about it at your show at the Chicago Theater on June 28th. I want to know how your mom is doing.
My mom is drunk, Dean.
Your mom is drunk. Okay.
Okay, let's use the word tipsy. one of the things that I have to try to laugh at everything, is the day the photo came out, my mother, who has hearing aids but doesn't like to put them on because she's vain, she watches Fox News with the sound off. So the day of the photo, I had to convince my mother for 2 hours that I had not joined ISIS. And she goes, of all the clubs you could have joined, Kathleen, why the hell did you join ISIS or Al-Qaeda or whatever it is? What about stamp collecting, for God's sake? I go, Mom, I don't think ISIS is recruiting 57-year-old Irish-American comedians.
Yeah.
You know, but
Mom's still enjoying the box of wine on occasion?
Hold on, Dean. I'm giving you breaking news, and I expect you to spread this globally. My mom came over yesterday, and she made a confession, although I don't know if I believe her. But I quizzed her, and I said, Mom, you know, she's going to be 98 on June 10th.
Holy smokes. Wow.
Chicago. She is a presentation girl.
Yeah.
Prettiest girl in presentation. All right, so I said, Mom, just, you know, before you croak, what is the most you would ever spend on a bottle of wine? And do you know what she had the nerve to say?
What's that?
She had the nerve to say $28.
Wow.
Now, as sure as you and I are talking right now, you know that Maggie's limit is $2. And it's $2 Chuck. And then I have to sneak in the third dollar because $2 Chuck is now $3.
Right. Exactly. So, and tax and everything. Right. Yeah.
I respect that even at 98, she's got the gumption or the moxie, as my people would say, to look me right in the eye and lie and say $28. Please.
I love it. I love it.
I love her. She's an American treasure.
I cannot wait to see you at the Chicago Theater. I know a lot of people won't, and that's fine. That's your prerogative. People on our text line, pretty evenly split on happy to hear Kathy Griffin on the air. Happy, you know, to hear that, you know, things are looking up for you. Here's one. I think you'll enjoy this, saying, Dean, you will burn in hell forever for having Kathy Griffin on your show today.
Oh, yes. I got a lot of those.
Yeah.
The Jesus people came after me, the left, the right, the bots, like all the, you know, the Russian troll bot farms and stuff. So I will warn any of my fans, and that's right, you heard me say my fans, like I'm a contestant on American Idol or something. if you want to post anything positive about me, I will warn you, you're going to have like 10 robots attack you at once, And then when you look up their profiles, you'll see that they just signed up for Twitter 10 minutes ago and they have 2 followers.
Mm.
But it happens. I'm educating myself on all of this, Dean.
Tickets are available through Ticketmaster. Kathy is at the Chicago Theater, coming home to her hometown June the 28th. Kathy, thank you for taking some time, and we'll look forward to seeing you when you're here, I hope.
Well, Dean, your show is fantastic. I'm a longtime fan, and thank you so, so much. So I'll see you guys at the Chicago Theater.
Kathy, I'll see you when we're both burning in hell, apparently.
Well, and we're going to be with Ron Reagan Jr., because he does those atheist commercials. Ron Reagan Jr., not afraid to burn in hell.
It's 11:57.
I ask people to sign up for my email list, because I can tell when you're like half the people like you and half don't. So that's what I'm saying, is I got to find the people who like me. So I have an email list. You can text Kathy 345-345, and you'll get the up-to-the-date news.
Very good.
Martin, you are a doll. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Kathy.